Hey, what's up? This is the Footy on Paper podcast, where we talk football from your point of view.
Whee!
Hello, people. Welcome to another episode of the Footy on Paper podcast. My name is Tayo Okunuga.
Hi, my name is Ife Awanyu. We have a birthday in the house. So I want to do a little shout out. So yeah, perhaps take the mic.
You'll do a shout out.
No, you're going to do the shout out now. I don't understand. Vote of thanks now. Birthday has passed. So you do vote of thanks.
I don't understand.
To the fans that called in, texted, you know, message. I saw that IG, that particular babe that was not disturbing you.
I don't understand anything you're talking
Especially
about.
She's an avid listener of the podcast and she loves you.
I don't understand one thing you're talking about, bro.
So you're going to just not, I don't know.
Give yes, yes, it was my birthday and I accept that and I've said, right. I've said my thank yous already. Yeah.
It's okay. Everything. Yeah, I was on that for birthday money.
No, I didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm joking. When my own birthday comes. Okay, I know you're listening
Ubi.
Now. Please, just know that I need a raise. I'm expecting visitors.
I think talk about your attendance. Bro. As he talked about.
On that note, so happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pabs.
Hello, people. Welcome to another episode of the Footy on Paper podcast. How you guys doing, man? My name remains Tayo Okunuga. Yes, my birthday. Thank you guys for sending me your well wishes and everything. And good luck to everybody as well. And hopefully, we at Footy on Paper will celebrate with you as well. Okay, how you doing?
I'm all right. I'm good.
Yeah.
Lovely week. You know, same old, same old. Crystal Palace didn't play anything.
What did they do your enemy this week?
I'm just looking at the God of Injuries right now. Please pray us. Okay. I'm worried right now. We don't know what's up with Thiago. I don't know if he's done the scan yet on his calves. His beautiful, beautiful calves. Calves of gold. Idea calves. So,
yeah.
I just want it to be all right. We already lost Harvey Elliott to a big injury, you know.
Yeah.
All the best to Harvey. I hope he comes back fitter, better, you know, all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just, it seems like the same script. We're doing the same things as title winning season. But I'm just worried about the injuries. You know, that's all for me right now. That's the main thing.
Why is your witting, your witting they do me? Like, why is it always about Liverpool, man? Is there any other thing happening in your life? You have said maybe next week you can change, or maybe something else happen in your life.
I
next
also
week.
Like to laugh at that.
No,
it's too late. If I allow me think of things, I want to laugh at my enemy.
It mustn't be about football
during the week.
It mustn't be about football.
Jesse Lingard, premium assist. I like that he recovered, you know, but we'll talk about that later.
Lois Corner is next. Then make sure you guys listen, man. In fact, don't even listen to us. Listen to Lois Corner. I'm begging you people now. I'm telling you people. See.
Premium Expo.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Louis, for giving us one or twos. I hope you guys listened.
No.
And
if you don't listen.
If you don't listen, just like go back. You understand? Rewind. Go back and go and listen
this
again.
This is not a beggy podcast. All right. What's Aria Stan CK?
It's time for hot topics. Yeah. Liverpool skimming through, as you said during your what do you call it now?
It's your club that is skimming through.
Are you not skimming through?
It's your club that is skimming through.
Stay skimming.
Come on now.
But really, it's my club that is skimming through your own skill.
Yes.
You get? But we're talking about Liverpool, man.
I've been in the trenches fighting for the club. Many insults. Many insults have come to us.
Anyway, yeah, speaking of insults, why do you think people underestimated Liverpool at the beginning of the season?
Because they need someone to hate. They need someone to be the bad guy. That's all I can tell you. And it's Liverpool, man. Who else? Who else evoke so much hatred,
including in your fan base as well, man. This was not even outside. Your fans were not confident of you guys challenging for the title.
We are definitely that type of club, man. The fan base sometimes they allow the enemy to get into their thoughts. To just, you know, positive thinking is not really our strong suit. Much pessimism just littered around the fan base. But I like that the wins that have come and the way the wins have come in, you know, obviously you have one or two people that are just very stubborn. And when I say one or two, I mean like maybe a few thousand or 100,000 here and there that are just very stubborn. But I feel like confidence is starting to come back into the fan base, and it's really good. And that's what wins will do, you know. And the nature of the performances as well, they're not, we feel like we've not entered like third year or fourth year yet with regards to, you know, really like controlling games and steamrolling opponents. But it's coming and we can see the signs. And I think that's one thing that's giving people confidence right now. Obviously we're not happy with the injuries to key players, well, not key players, but players that have a lot of potential, and then maybe one or two key players. But we still have the core of the squad very fit. The spine is very good. And yeah, I think it's still going to be a lot like that title winning season. You know, everyone's contributing when they need to contribute. I like that we're having people pop up. I love Naby Keita's goal on the weekend. I love the celebration or the non-celebration as well. Very Balotelli-esque. Yeah.
Don't really laugh. So,
we'll get to your match, but that's all I have to say for now.
So, wait.
Crystal Palace, when I wait to break this up, never. You know, we haven't lost to them. Oh, we haven't lost to them since... drop points to them, I think.
Why are you chatting about Crystal Palace?
Because I hate them.
Why do you hate Crystal Palace?
13-14 season.
That's why. Crystal Ball.
Ever since then, Dwight Gale hasn't known joy. So...
So it's because of them you'd know in the league.
What did you just call me?
I said Christian Bull.
What did you just call me just now?
I didn't call you anything. I said Christian Bull.
Are you calling me?
It was.
I don't want to use that word.
I said Christian Bull.
Family show.
So it was because of them you didn't win the league. Was it like individual errors, you know, from a certain person?
Can we move on?
That slipped.
Let's move on. Okay.
No good. Let me just put like a probability to you. There's a certain player I always talk about. I always talk about that if Liverpool should lose this player, you know, one or two things might happen. I mean, we saw in the Champions League.
You saw nothing.
You know, things were porous. If you called if he had during that time, he wasn't speaking properly.
I don't answer calls during matches. I don't know why you are calling me during a football match. If you love me and you know me, you know that I don't pick calls.
So if Van Dijk doesn't play, why can't Liverpool cope? Or I think will Liverpool cope? Let me not say why can't Liverpool, because you guys won the game 3-2. So are Liverpool too dependent on him? I mean, you have five centre halves, and then if he doesn't play, there seems to be like a panic in the fan base.
I think one of the drawbacks we have being such a wonderful, resolute, and I think outstanding player like Van Dijk is having a player of his caliber, you know, means that people tend to, I don't say shirk their responsibilities, because everybody has their unique roles in the team. But then when he's not in the team now, people don't want to take on that mantle of, you know, just, okay, fine, I'm going to be the one to say, all right, guys, let's push up. Or everybody stay alert.
Okay.
Let's keep the line. Watch your marker, all them type of things. So I think we need kind of like a second person in the defense that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to stay switched on, even though VD is not here. Let's try and do the right things. Let's play as if he's with us on the pitch.
Okay.
And we just don't have that right. Maybe this season might be the season where maybe Gomez finally, because it seems like Gomez is going to be Van Dijk's replacement in the team. And for Matip's replacement is going to be Konate. Obviously, that could change as season progresses. But those are the early signs that we're getting.
No chance for Nathalie. Don't worry. Just free up.
The League Cup is coming up. I think Nathalie will definitely get a start there.
Can we just do like a quick wager? A quick bet.
That he doesn't play, he doesn't start.
He doesn't start.
What's the, what are we
Konate
wagering?
And... your salary now. Your salary, I won't collect, man.
So you want my money to just not be nice. I don't get it.
I'll go sponsor. Don't worry.
I'll
go sponsor.
I'm not butchering anything. I Phillips. So let me tell you, when there's favor on your head, the boy has Nathaniel. Go and check. Go and check me on Nathaniel.
Let's talk. Let's talk about Chelsea.
So check the meaning on Nathaniel in the Bible and get back.
We'll spend 6 minutes on Liverpool.
Fine, let's move on.
Chelsea Football Club, Chelsea Kings of London after win over Spurs. Tuchel seems to have created like a monster team.
You know,
one goal considered all season in all competitions. Two in all competitions.
You say that I'm like maybe talking about Liverpool again. I think the highest compliment I can pay them is that they kind of look like us right now.
In what sense?
They get the wins, they play good ball, and they have, you know, contributions coming across the pitch.
Yeah, okay.
I think especially from their defense this season, you know,
yeah,
coming through with key, not just, you know, flopper goals or goals you say, like, they just add the score line, key goals.
Yeah.
I mean, you're looking at Chalobah on his debut. You look at Rudiger in the last game, Alonso as well. So,
even as Plikota with the assist.
As well with the assist, you know. And these are players that we're very familiar with. They're not new faces or anything. So
yeah.
I think it's very, very, especially a team like Chelsea, you know, that's constantly clamoring for new this, new that. You find that it's even some of the older participants, people that we're familiar with, that are coming through with the numbers needed, the key moments really, to help them get across, not get across the line, but just to be challengers. I think it's very interesting that Liverpool and Chelsea have played same number of games and have almost same number of starts.
Identical. Everything.
So, and the other guys, you know, City 3 points behind. It's still very tough, but I can say that Chelsea are definitely going to be in it by the end of the season.
Okay. Do you think, like, you know, people always say Chelsea play, what, five at the back, or that they depend on their defense to get points, basically. But do people just, I think tactically, do people look down on Thomas Tuchel? Because look at what he did today.
Yeah,
first half, it seems like Spurs were all over them. The second half, he brought in Kante, took off Mount, and boom, three goals. So, like, do people, like, look down on Thomas Tuchel in terms of tactics? Because nobody really talks about that.
If they look down on him, it's to their own peril, because we saw what happened when Antonio Conte came to the league and he brought his three at the back. And all of a sudden, everybody tried to copy that style. But it's not for everybody. Because one, you need the personnel. So just because you switch to three doesn't mean,
you start winning games. Though.
Ultimate defender.
Yeah.
We're going to start winning games, start scoring. You need the right people to be able to execute that game plan. You need defenders that are good in one-on-one moments and also can play well as a unit. You need the attackers that are very good in decisive moments. Because a lot of the time, you're going to have less players up front than you do at the back. So what's going to happen is that you need players that can do well in one-on-one situations, that are very good in key moments, and also can hold the ball up really well. Because when you know, obviously you're playing a very defensive game, so when you're playing on the counter, you're not going to have as many players in their house. So you need them to be able to make the right decisions and do the right things at the right time.
Okay.
And Chelsea seem to have that with Lukaku, Ziyech. Werner might not be finishing a lot of his chances or doing the right things in the right moment, but he seems to be in the right positions. And you feel like the decision making is going to come as the season progresses.
Yeah. He'll get there. Yeah. He'll get there. Man. Quickly, like, I asked you about Van Dijk. If they lose Lukaku, would there be a problem?
Big problem.
So they're not the perfect team then now. If I know you talked about, like, goals coming from other places in the team right now.
I mean, there's really no perfect team, to be honest. Football is really you having your best 11 or best 15.
Okay.
And then trying to get that squad now to just win you games, win you titles, man.
Okay.
And that's why we have key players for a reason. Certain players go, you feel it. That's why they are valued. That's why they get paid the big money. Because when they are not there, the team suffers. So I think the only person that is trying to build the perfect team is Pep.
Yeah, if City lose Jack Grealish, I mean, Sterling comes in.
Yeah.
Foden's even injured, and we're not talking about.
Yeah, and you look at even the teams that you feel like are trying to, like, stack players and all that, you find that even with all the attacking wealth or just general player wealth at their disposal, you see that even when they rotate, you know, you still lose that. Football is still very much played by 11 human beings.
Yeah.
You have very few.
They will feel it if the brand doesn't
play. Yes, the rhythm will be off.
Okay. Quickly on Tottenham, is Nuno showing his true colours?
He's the manager of the month, course.
Okay.
So I don't want to attribute this to the manager himself. We'll see how he does next month.
Okay. Okay, because obviously he will be manager of the month.
Yes.
United continue their away trend. Does Ole get fair criticisms, or do you think he's over the top?
He does get fair criticism, because I feel... No, he does. He does.
I know, yeah,
he gets fair. I mean, I love him because he's doing...
Let me tell you why I put that question to you. Right. You know, you brought in Lingard. I mean, you talked about Lingard when we started the show. He brought in Lingard midweek. Lingard messed up. Everybody was shouting, why did he do that? Blah, blah, blah. He brought in Lingard today. Lingard scored the winning goal. So, I mean, like, is there a balance you get?
What I can say is this, man. It's all about the narrative for me. You look at a team that you know that can always come back from losing positions to win games. You say, oh, wow, they have really good fighting spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, they win away from home. That means they're very tough, because for you to go to rival teams' home ground with the pressure, the fans and everything, and then you win the game, especially from losing position, you see, okay, fine, they're very strong. But then you look at a team of United's quality and you find that they're not controlling games in the manner that they should, especially when you consider the caliber of opposition they are playing sometimes. This is not to be disrespectful to their opponents that they played during the week and at the weekend, but you feel like they are meant to impress upon those games more than they have, because as much as, even if like you get the results and it's fine, you won, but I know that certain fans are going to look at the performance itself and say, you know what, these are certain worrying signs that they've been noting for a while now under the Ole
regime.
Yeah. And it's concerning to them, because the really great teams don't just always have to, you know, oh, we're fighting back, we're coming out from somewhere.
But Fergie did this, love. Fergie did this
all of the time. I feel like we tend to because of recency bias, I guess, or what I think that's what it's called. People are forgetting that they used to steamroll teams and they used to control teams. Yes. I know.
I didn't know.
They were bullies.
I know the rolling teams. They trashed Leeds 5-1 now. Okay.
That's Leeds. It's context.
when you say steamrolling, are you saying big teams? Is that what you're saying?
Not big teams, obviously. But you know, you have the teams like the them relegation boys. Boys in the lower half of the table.
They beat Leeds, their rivals, 5-1. I mean, check out their home games this season. They've been smashing teams now.
Leeds are one of them, guys, man. They're playing them.
Yes.
You have to always factor in the Bielsa narrative.
Okay.
When it's like, you know, how they play, when they are losing, when they are winning, whatever. They're Leeds are Leeds. Sinzu is Sinzu.
Okay. It's all good. Quickly, other results. City new, Southampton new. I keep on hearing this striker problem to him. I don't buy it. I just feel like that was a blip.
I don't think it exists, the striker problem, to be honest, because they can still score goals. The main thing for them on the day was creation.
Okay.
They had, I think, first shot on target in 90th minute.
Yeah, only one shot on target.
So, creation, and then also maybe people not taking enough shots. You find that with Man City, they tend to, they're very hesitant with taking like what you call potluck shots. But I feel like it's part of the game as well to take shots in places that not necessarily don't give you a high XG. But Pep is very averse to all them type of things. He wants to make sure that they are creating clean chances for the players to profit off of.
Okay. Big ups to Hassan Hotel as well. I think that's what Southampton defense looks like. They're serious now.
They've been doing something. I mean, they've been at the... They've gotten some very... Like, some proper drubbings in recent years. But I don't want to say too much because they do disappoint.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. It's all good. Yeah. Burnley new, Arsenal won. Back-to-back wins for Mikel and his boys. Yeah. It's all good. It's all good. You know, we're getting ourselves together. Two clean sheets. You know, Ramsdale playing well. Yeah, things are looking rosy. I don't know why you're giving me the side eye. I don't know why you're giving me the side eye. Clean sheets.
How far, Ben?
Oh, Big Ben. Big Ben. Do you know, for instance,
of all the
criticisms and everything that he got on Twitter. Let me finish.
We're going to give him an FOP nickname.
I'll tell you. Yes, the man.
We're calling him White Money from now.
I'm telling you, the person that said they cannot head had the most distant area duels, won the most area duels, won the most ground duels. So I don't understand what they're saying. He just made silly mistakes in terms of passing. And obviously, that's his key thing. His passing was just bad on the day, man. In terms of defending, it was very good. Arsenal was very good. And with football, he's up. Sophomore is now sophomore. Yeah, another game. I'm very sorry for that.
Why did you do that?
Quickly before we go. You hit me back. Brighton 2, Leicester 1. Is it time for Kelechi to get more stats? Should Brendan go back to what he used towards the end of last season?
I was actually kind of, even though the thing now you say is that maybe, but I'm of the opinion that Leicester like a step behind where I feel Kelechi should be. I feel like he's a very good finisher.
Yeah.
And a top club could profit from his a top club that is molded around him and his strength and you know how he plays would definitely profit from having him in their team. Leicester, I don't know, they seem to just theoretically they should be a Champions League team. I mean, with the way they play and how he likes to play attractive football and they're good at what they do. You know, they have a nice crop of talent that around that age where you feel like if they don't get to where they want to get to, they're going to start selling some guys. Mm-hmm. I don't call a few names.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tillman, them. Mm-hmm. And Kelechi.
I don't want to call a few names. And he calls
one name. One name.
The name that's linked to his club.
See, this is my Liverpool podcast. But like, yeah, Kelechi, man.
Yeah.
I think he's suffering from having Jamie Vardy beside him.
Mm-hmm.
Beside him or along him in the attacking order. And I'm not surprised that Brendan Rodgers is going to be more favorable towards, you know, not his countryman, because I think Brendan Rodgers from Ireland.
For Ireland, Northern Ireland.
Not Northern Ireland, but you get similar birds that like
from the UK.
I don't see anything that implies
that from the UK.
Yes. No, let's speak. I don't see anything that
quickly,
implies.
Quickly, let's go.
Well, Kelechi, man, I hope your agent just try and put your head down, try and get everything sorted, and maybe you can get a big move to another league even.
Okay. Okay, welcome back.
Welcome back. Let me just start off by saying that you're a very shameless man.
Yes.
And that you need to know your place in the Premier League because you're not a big boy right now.
What does that even mean?
You lack humility.
I don't understand.
How many chances do you create against what's their face?
Burnley.
They are calling their sophomore. Insult.
Make I drop the start for
people
you.
People are going there, they are struggling.
Make I drop the start for you. Four. Make I drop the start for you.
One freaky.
Make I drop the start for you.
I don't get it.
In their last 13 home games, that's Burnley, they've not won anything. Okay, let's talk about La Liga now. Your friends, Atletico, why do they like making things hard? Midweek 0-0, their game against Bilbao as well, 0-0. Like, what's going on?
I think they're actually incapable of just demolishing. They can't do it.
Mm.
They are created in.
They like to suffer.
I don't say they like to suffer, but we've been watching them for so long now, and I think this is just really how they play, and this is as high as their level.
Is this now? Do you think like Cholo likes being the underdog? Do you think he likes it? Is that what drives him? Is that what drives his teams?
Not necessarily.
When I say his teams, let's go and do your coach.
It definitely plays. It has a. This is definitely a defining factor in why they play the way they do. And that teams that don't look at themselves as being the underdogs or, you know, they are fighting, like, you know, let's get these guys, we have to do this. And teams that feel like, oh, we're the big dogs here, we're here to dominate, to control, and we're definitely going to win. You can see it in the style of play. It's more free flowing. They're trying to create more chances and score more goals. Unlike Atleti that try to stifle the opposition no matter who they are, and then score one or two goals and then keep their clean sheets. Jan Oblak's clean sheet record in La Liga is absolutely
stunning,
astounding.
I think the whole of football
astounding. And we don't know if there going to be another. Reminds me of Cech at Chelsea, really. And he seems to
have probably better than Cech,
yeah, probably better than Cech at Chelsea. And it's like, man, Atletico probably, and maybe that's why football is football, you know. Maybe they're never going to be the type of team that scores four goals week in, week out. That's just not going to be their game.
Yeah.
But they're going to give you defensive solidity, and you're going to have some hairy moments. But they're going to win games, and they'll give you that joy. And the way that joy is going to come about, they're going to be very interesting.
Okay.
So, that.
Yeah, the, drama.
Drama.
Yeah, I think it's drama. Okay.
It's all about drama.
It's all good. Let's talk Bundesliga now. Leipzig are struggling this season. Do you think we're expecting too much from them because of what they've done in previous season. Like,
we're definitely expecting way too much from them because one thing again, the rhythm, very important in football, the rhythm, the rhythm. Mm. You might have some teams that escape the whole rhythm wahala and they just are able to do well even though
just shoot up.
Even though like they have a little shake in their how do I say this now? When they get shaken up, I guess let's say that.
When Bayern comes. Yeah. Keep going, keep going.
Why he's a very shady guy. Very shady guy. Why would you say that?
Keep going.
What's that meant to
me? I don't want Bayern comes, bro. You understand? It's like the godfather, you understand?
I mean, whatever can upset your rhythm, whether it's transfers, injuries,
yeah.
Breaks in play, all them things, man. Mm. Teams always have to find a way to keep that rhythm because it's the rhythm that will get you across the line to win titles. And they haven't won the Bundesliga since they've come up.
They haven't won anything.
They've come close.
They've come close.
But they haven't won it.
They've overachieved, really. Because, I mean, how many years did it take them to get to Champions League? Yeah, how many and with the players they've been bringing up, so players they've been selling, and the way they buy as well. So like, I'm sure teams would like to do that, what they're doing, but like, I think Jesse March needs. I think they have to like start all over again. If you understand what I mean, because they lost their coach, they lost their captain, they lost the Pamecano. So like, I think with Jesse March, they have to start like that process all over again.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't like really look at them to be top four contenders, or I know I'm not saying they will not finish in top four or anything, though, because obviously like that league is very interesting from second to
even if they don't finish, 16th. I know that they'll say it's the coach and everything, but there needs to be more conservatism. I mean, there needs to be more conservative in their expectations of or in their expectations for Red Bull, because Bayern understand more than anything else that even if that to win, you need to keep a rhythm. But even if you can't keep a rhythm, you might as well just upset your computer's rhythm. That's the way.
So who is the petty one now?
No, I'm stating it.
I didn't state facts.
You said when Bayern comes. What's that?
When Bayern comes now.
Alright, if you can't, because when your opponent is like, or when your computers are shook up, you know, it will help you not. It probably helps you get your own rhythm back quickly. And Bayern, man. Bayern are the kings of it. They've been able to maintain such a very high winning rate in that country, and it seems set to continue for another year.
Mm.
And
I mean, they just won 7-0 this weekend.
7-0, man.
Yeah, man.
Bro. Can you imagine that?
Hey.
That's it. Hey. Is that you? We said it all.
Okay, let's talk about Haaland. He scored 11 goals in 8 games.
Scored more goals than games now, yes? 68 and
67. I think that's overall. I don't know, but like for this season,
well, as our last count, I last checked, so we don't know. As at time of IFE checking score app, but I can't say as at the time of recording.
Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I saw.
Okay.
And what a talent. Mm. Still so young, man. He seems to be the next big name coming from the Dortmund.
Where is he going to join?
Might as well just go to Bayern, you know. It seems to be looking for a new striker. Of course, Lewandowski is a little bit upset.
Really, but
that's their Lewandowski replacement there.
He's going to leave. He's going to leave in the summer.
Yeah,
that one is sure.
But the thing now, will Bayern put up that money for him? Definitely not.
They will not. It's not 75 million. 75 million is very cheap now. But I don't think he'll go to Bayern.
But I don't think he'll go for 75 million next year.
It's 75 million. It's stated.
Okay, that's the goal.
Yes, that's it.
If it's 5 million, then I think they could be in the race as well.
No, I'm not saying no. They're in the race, though. My point is, I don't think they will lose Lewandowski yet. So,
not necessarily lose, but I feel like they might need to
sell.
Not sell, but then also they need to look to the future.
Okay.
I'm not saying that he's still not efficient and productive.
But there are teams that want him almost immediately.
From a business point of view, it would be good to get, I mean, ready-made replacement. And you already have a model system in place of going to pick from the other.
When Bayern comes.
When Bayern comes, as you said.
Yeah.
So, do the wise thing and pick one now.
It's like a theme when Bayern comes.
I mean, what's that happen is that maybe in a few years, one very big club will come and then just steal, not necessarily steal, but, you know, they'll just bring some big money and take it. And you make some money off
City can just take him for 75 now. And he's been talking about England.
that's another problem.
Uh-huh. And his dad plays for City.
I mean, that's why Karl-Heinz Rummenigge is always crying all the time about how the English club. No, he's crying, but he's doing the same. He's a local bully complaining about continental bullies.
He's a big fish in a small pond. All right. It's all good. Let's talk Serie A now. Inter route to Bologna 6-1. Obviously, when you don't have Tomiyasu, like, you'll be conceding all these goals. Yeah. I don't know why you're giving me the side eye, but I don't understand this thing. You get
shame.
What do you mean shame? What was that?
Like, shameless man. So because of one right back, is it Van Dijk?
Yes. He will play left back, right back, center back. Where? Everybody went to hockey.
It's enough.
How will you go to Toughmore? How will you go to Toughmore and win 100% of your aerial duels? 100% of your aerial duels. You won everything. You went to Toughmore. Inter. Nobody talk like that though. I'm a top dog. Yeah.
Taki.
Inter.
Ah, we have
6-1.
We have mutual tacky.
No, they bring your tacky here. No.
Wait, if you know they bring your tacky. Yeah.
Tacky, no, they never do anything. Tacky. Roomba. Inter 6-1 after their midweek loss to who they lose again? Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Last minute with all the chances they created, and also I think they drew. They drew last week. I can't remember the team they drew, but they drew last week. Yeah, with Sampdoria 2-2. I think this comeback was loading. 6-1. Yeah. That's all you have to say. Yeah.
Well, Inter, you feel like, you know, they are meant to start shaking, have little issues here and there because of the players that they've lost.
Yeah. Two key players.
The keyest. But they surprised me. I'm pleasantly surprised, you know. I wouldn't have expected them to win by that scoreline. But I feel like they played very well. And they showed a lot of character to be able to beat such a big... Well, not a big team, sorry.
They're no more a big team. Tomiyasu's not with them. You understand? They're no more a big team. Bologna are not a big team.
Yeah, they made good replacement. I feel like Edin Dzeko is a good Serie A replacement.
Yes, yeah.
The main question that will be asked of him, and which is really the question that is asked of any of the, you know, top forwards really in Serie A, is how well they're going to perform in the continental stage.
I think I think that's a problem for Inter.
That's
for just get out of the group.
Yeah, you find that when they get to Europe now, they can't really score as many goals. And really, man, Champions League will always like profit the teams that score more. It's a scoring league.
Yeah.
So obviously, man, you have 1 or 2 years where the really defensive teams have most of all. You must defend, yes. Clean sheets are necessary.
Most definitely.
But you must also score a lot of goals.
Mm.
And that's where we hope that they can do this 6-1 doings. The 6-1 in the
Champions League.
Because some of these fresh fish now will meet them, and all of a sudden they start.
Staggering,
you know. There's fish.
Yeah.
Grill it up. Eat it.
What guy said grill it up?
Grill it up, man.
Yeah, you can cook fish too.
Grilling is cooking.
Oh, okay.
Cooking is an umbrella term.
But
this is not that type of podcast.
You keep on saying that every time, man.
Yeah, but this is not a cooking show.
Yeah. Mourinho loses his first game as Roma boss.
And
he lost to Hellas Verona
their manager, winning their first. So you see how the cookie crumbles. Ha. Mumu.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Blip, Navi. What can we call it?
It's a blip.
He's still learning the squad. You understand? He hasn't found his best team yet, obviously.
They're going to have a meeting. And obviously amongst players and maybe the coaching staff, they'll look at the game. I think now you don't want to, because Mourinho can be very good at that. You know, I'm hoping that he's going to have a very measured press conference.
Mm.
It's still very early on in the season. We don't need any of that what's it called, Days of Our Lives drama yet.
He's been speaking though. He's been saying like, yeah, because like Roma have been really good in terms of scoring goals and everything. They've entertained us. He said that Roma have to learn how to win dirty. And you know that's Mourinho's like best trait. So
of course, the best winners always have the best thing is that you have to have one or two people, or even maybe just a general idea amongst the squad that, you know, you might need to just give him a little kick there, pull that shirt. Nothing so dangerous that, you know, you're trying to harm a player.
I think what is cynical, are we?
Cynical, yeah. You need to have some of that cynicism.
I can't spell that word, but like, you teach me after.
No problem, that's fine.
Yeah.
This is a learning podcast. We do some teaching here. We're all here to learn.
Okay. It's all good. Again, please. In fact, see, after listening to us, go back and listen to Lohi's Corner.
No, don't listen. Don't listen.
I'm begging you, please.
And I said this is a learning podcast.
Okay. It's all good. Make sure you listen to Lohi's Corner. Lohi has some things for you there. Listen to it. But again, for the birthday wishes, thank you guys very much. Thank you to the people that came to celebrate as well. Big ups to my man here, Ifye. He did so well.
Yeah.
Big ups to his family as well that came through. Big ups to the Footy on Paper family.
Come. Is this Papi's birthday podcast? Hurry up.
I thought you said
you're wasting my time. Don't worry, I'm just trying to keep him on his toes
as usual. Yes. Yeah. So thank you guys very much, man. You guys made my day. And if you have anything to say, I'm crying now.
He's getting emotional. Pabs, happy birthday, man. We're happy to have you on the podcast.
Thank you.
And you be our guy now. You're a cool guy.
Yeah.
We like you some of the time.
Mm-hmm. What? Right?
This is a truthful podcast, so don't tell lies here.
What kind of podcast is this?
That's
the name of the episode.
How many names, please?
Oh my goodness.
It's like all them songs already. The song has two names. You put one name inside the bracket. Or songs that have songs that are two songs in one.
Yes.
Exactly.
Anyway, thank you guys for listening and see you guys next week. Ciao, ciao.
Ciao. Alright, so you can follow us at Footy on Paper on Twitter and Instagram. That's at FOOTYONPAPER. So if you like what you've been listening to and you want to, you know, just interact with us, I know, get logged into our regular content, our competitions, everything that's going on with Footy on Paper, you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Footy on Paper. And if you want to also place an ad, you can send us an email at thefootyonpaperpodcast@yahoo.com. That's thefootyonpaperpodcast@yahoo.com. Also, you can send us voice messages on any of your preferred platforms. The link is there. So you can just record a little something and just send to us. Cheers.